The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Wake up in a great mood. Welcome to your Tuesday morning just after 7 o'clock on K-Rock. How the hell goes it? We are Klein Alley Show. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming back for more. I'm Klein. That's Alley. What percentage healthy are you right now, Alley?
Same as yesterday. Consistent, baby.
30% healthy?
Let's see. I think I'm pushing 40, 45 at this point.
Whoa, almost 50% healthy, which is pretty standard.
Though yesterday my voice was blown out by about 9, and it's, I think, going to be about 7:30 today.
I've noticed a lot of people are walking around with sick voice these days, and I can't tell if it's from screaming at the TV or cheering for the Dodgers or whatever it may be, but it sounds like there's a good population that's got that, whatever that is, that sick,
the sexy Vegas rasp.
Yeah, the post-Vegas kind of sick voice.
Yeah.
Where it makes sense in Vegas, especially you're leaving that airport Sunday morning. Everyone sounds like that, but
it sucks because at one point you don't get a sick excuse anymore. And I know people are working through sicknesses regardless, but even you get a day or two of like, hey, you know what? I can't do X, Y, and Z. I'm not feeling up to it. I'm sick. And people are like, cool, feel better. It doesn't really work a week later.
No. At some point, you go, really, still?
I know. And they're like, now people just get mad at you.
This hour on the show, we'll hear from you, your scariest stories, as we're officially in the scariest week of the year. Halloween is almost here, so we'll be talking to you about your tales from the Lyft. Scary ride-share stories that happened to you or friends as a driver and or passenger. No shortage have been popping up on the text line and on Instagram at Klein Alley Show. Your chance to share with us those stories. And we'll pick one of our favorites, and we'll give you some tickets to see who at the Hollywood... Oh, boy, they're sick
there
voice.
There it is.
Oh, man.
Get
it out. Who are they going to see at the Hollywood Bowl, Vanessa?
Ricky Gervais.
That's who you're going to see. The great Ricky Gervais.
Does it change every single time?
Every time. Omar, I'm telling you, she said it 25 times, and she said it 25 different ways.
You should have heard it last week when she was like, guys, we have Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. That was my favorite. Very excited about that. So anyway, we'll get to that coming up this hour on the show, plus a secret that will help you live forever, a new round of old people's secrets. In a moment, if you've left any messages on the GOAT line, we will be unloading GOAT together. That number is 844-956-GOAT. And someone claims, Allie, on the GOAT line that they were given a prediction by the very bold Nostradamus, where I rub my nostrils and give predictions at the end of the year, and they claim that one of my predictions came true.
Wow.
So we will get into that as we unload GOAT together, and we'll do it next right here on K-Rock. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. Thanks for starting your Tuesday with us. Make it worth your while this hour, and I'll start to take your calls in just a few moments. Your scariest rideshare experiences. To get into a stranger's car sometimes is fine, and sometimes it's incredibly freaky. And if you're a driver and or a passenger, you've ever taken advantage of some of the many, many rideshare options, I'm sure you have a story that you believe is your scariest rideshare story ever.
Yeah, and you know what? When you think about it, when Lyft, like Lyft was one of the first to do it, and their whole tagline was, we're your friend with a car.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're all just friends here, you know? And it was like, you were supposed to talk to them as a driver. They told you, you're supposed to make conversation. Now it's all very transactional, and you're like, hold on, I'm getting into a stranger's car all of the time.
Sometimes it's on the up and up, and sometimes you realize once that ride has begun that, oh, this is not going to go well. So we'll get to your stories in a moment. Tales from the Lyft returns. It's a Halloween tradition around these parts, but right now we unload GOAT because the GOAT line is there when we're not 24/7, 365. It never takes a day off. You can always leave your comments, critiques, criticisms, or questions on the GOAT line. If you're a new listener or your podcast listener can't interact with us live, the GOAT line is there for you at 844-956-GOAT.
Klein and Alley, it's Pantyhose Greg here. One afternoon I was at Sunset Plaza, Chin Chin, had a little Chinese chicken salad. I was nicely stoned, okay? And I was sitting there and I fell asleep. The waiter woke me up. I just nodded off right there, bro.
So, you know, we always wonder why that guy's banned from so many establishments. He said there's six places on one street he's not allowed to go into ever again, and it sounds like that's why. He just goes into Chinese restaurants and falls asleep at the table.
The mental image I have of Pantyhose Greg wearing his shirt-waist pantyhose, really high off his ass, sitting in a chin-chin, falling asleep over a Chinese chicken salad.
It's great.
Put that on a t-shirt.
It's beautiful.
Story checks out. Everything about that like would sound weird if anyone else were to say it, but for some reason with that guy, it's like, the perfect story.
I know. I can picture the servers all like coming together going, what should we do about this guy? What are we going to do? He's here again. He's asleep.
Throw a tablecloth over him and move on. Next message on the GOAT line.
Hi, Klein and Allie. I have to give you some super exciting news. So, in last December, I had called in for Nostradamus, and I had asked if I would get engaged in 2024.
This is at the end of the year. I will rub my giant pothole-sized nostrils and give amazing predictions as to what will happen in the year ahead based on your questions.
And I wanted to give you guys the exciting news that Nostradamus was perfect, just got engaged.
didn't even remember the prediction, but congratulations. If Nostradamus said it will happen, it will happen.
I'm super duper excited, and I just wanted to thank Nostradamus for helping to manifest this. Really couldn't have done it without you. Mm. And I will say, I know you had predicted we may not get to the wedding.
Did I say that?
Oh, man.
What was my prediction? That you would get engaged, but it wouldn't make it to the wedding? Oh, whoops.
I have no idea what your actual prediction was, but I think it's interesting that after all the predictions you've made as Nostradamus, this is the one person who has said it came true.
Right.
Of course, I remain to be seen, so we're hoping for the best. But wanted to say thanks.
You're welcome.
And, love you guys. Wasabi.
Wasabi to you as well.
Wasabi.
Congratulations. I'm glad my prediction could help.
Good morning, y'all. This is Alex, but you can call me Mick Alex. I wasn't able to get to the $10 blood suck thing you did in Long Beach. I wasn't able to go because of my stupid-ass job.
Do want to thank everyone who made it out to the $10 blood suck. They ran the numbers, and I think our listeners responsible for saving close to 400 lives, maybe more than that, just on the blood that we collected that day. So thank you.
How many pints did we get?
I don't know how many pints it worked out to, but they did the calculations and they figured out that probably 400 or north of 400 people's lives will be saved because of the blood that was donated that day. So thank you for doing your part.
But my partner was able to go, and I was super jealous. They got to talk to Postmaster Johnny and Vanessa. They weren't able to give blood, but they still had a good time.
There were a lot of people that were not able to give blood. That was interesting, too. Yeah. They're like, hey, I wanted to come and support you guys, but I cannot give blood because I'm drunk right now or because I've been not medically cleared or whatever the reason is.
But imagine the lives we could have saved if everyone wasn't drunk.
Yeah, that number could have been triple if people just couldn't drink booze that day.
I just wanted to say I really hope you guys do these events again in the future. I'd love to be able to go. Especially if it's a blood drive. I'm a good candidate for that.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great week. I hope to see y'all very soon. Take care.
All right.
This is Kevin.
Kevin. Thank you, Craig. What a message. Thank you. All right. We got to take a quick break. On the phone already, I see people that would like to share with us their scariest rideshare stories. Tales from the Lyft.
Ooh.
When we get back from this quick break right here, Kevin. It is officially the scariest week of the year, Halloween only a few short days away, and when you talk about real life fear, You learn from a very early age, you don't get in a car with a stranger. That's like one of the first messages, first lessons, maybe the only lesson I remember my parents ever telling me. You do not get into a stranger's car. It doesn't matter if they say they have candy. It doesn't matter if they say they have even more candy.
Especially if it's a van. And now today, you're like, ooh, a van.
Yeah, man, kill for a stranger's van. Stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I got an XL.
Then all of a sudden, it shifted the last few years, and now we are relying on strangers' cars to get us everywhere. To the airport, back from the airport, bars, concerts, sporting events, whatever. It's all about getting in strangers' cars, but this is the one time of year that we allow you to share your scariest stories as we enter the tales from the lift. Passengers, drivers, it's your opportunity to share with us your absolute scariest real-life ride-share stories. This is something that I think we all have accepted, but still there is a little bit of fear that gets into it. And we say hello to Jim on K-Rock. Good morning, Jim. We'll start with you, make our way up and down these phones. One of these people will be rewarded handsomely with tickets to see someone at the Hollywood Bowl. Who, Vanessa? We don't know, right?
Ricky Gervais.
That's the guy.
I don't like you.
Jim, tell us your tales from the lift, please.
Hey, good morning, Klein and Allie. Yeah, my wife and I got in a lift downtown. We were down there drinking, partying, and the driver was just super high.
Well, that's
standard.
Yeah, all right.
Where's it
then
get scary? Yeah.
Well, we just wanted to get out because he could barely even put the thing in drive when we started. We lasted about a block and we got out at the next light.
You know, I will say not that the guy I had was not high, but he was like 100.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty scary.
Oh, my God. I've never been so scared when I was driving. He stopped in the middle of an intersection and was like, where am I? And I was like, oh, my God, get me out of here.
Let's say hi
to... this is how I go.
Brian, welcome to Tales from the Lift, your opportunity to share with us your scariest ride share stories as passenger and or driver. Go ahead. You're up.
Hey, guys. Yeah. So I was a driver in Costa Mesa. I want to say it was Halloween night about 4 or 5 years ago. And I pulled into this club parking lot and tons of people around, kind of, you know, was waving my phone around. Somebody came up, you know, how they can see what kind of car you're driving and your license plate. They get in the vehicle, we start driving, and within the first 2 minutes, my phone rings like 5 times. And I'm like, what is going on? I look back at passenger saying, hey, I'm sorry, I got to pull over and figure out what this is. I answer the phone call, and the guy's like, hey, man, like, why are you driving away? Where are you going? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're driving away from me, and you started my ride. Like, what do you think you're doing? I was like, wait, give me a second. I turn around to the guy behind me. I'm like, hey, man, like, what's your name? He's like, yeah, I'm Mark. I was like, okay. I'm like, show me your ID. Ends up being, like, Jose Gonzalez. And I'm like, dude, are you me? Get out of the car. Are you serious? And so then the guy on the phone, the real passenger, you know, hear him in the back. He's like, hey, did you take a picture of this guy's ID? Like, and then you hear him in the back, hey, babe, do you have my gun? Like, I swear to God, I'm going to find this guy.
Oh, no.
See, this is one of the biggest fear stories ever, is that your ride has begun and you realize either the passenger you think you have is not the right person or the car you're in is not an Uber or Lyft at all.
Yeah.
That's always kind of, and you know how it is. It's such chaos when you're trying to get into one at the airport or leaving a venue or a concert.
Oh, and you.
That you're just happy. Anyone that's just even doors unlocked and lets you, just get in it.
I've seen you offer just cash to a random person who's not even an Uber, just saying, hey, get me to this place and I'll give you money.
Take me any. Sometimes
and that person could be crazy.
Just take me 3 miles from here and drop me off. I don't even care. I got to get out of this. It's complete pandemonium.
661 said, as a passenger, our Uber's tired. Exploded on the freeway, and he proceeded to drive and pick up another rider because he wanted to get his Uber bonus, and he was one ride away.
That's so funny. Jack, we're talking about real life fear as we are in the scariest week of the year as it pertains to your ride share stories. What happened to you, Jack?
So I was a passenger. I was having a medical emergency in Kenya, and I needed to go to the hospital, and the driver just started going the complete opposite direction of where I needed to go, and he would not change directions, and he just kept going for 30 minutes.
What was the medical emergency?
So I had appendicitis. So I got surgery in Kenya, and then a couple days after the surgery, just started like feeling really weird, and so I had to go back to the hospital.
And when you're telling the driver, "I need the hospital," you're going the wrong way. Is he responding, or just going stone faced and continuing to drive the wrong way?
No, he was responding. He was, "Oh no, trust me, I know a shortcut. I know a shortcut."
I love those drivers. I love those drivers, by the way. That's claim that they and I got every app open on my phone going, that is not the case. I'm looking at it right now.
And I actually took an Uber here yesterday, and I think that there is some kind of a secret app that will say, what is the most roundabout way I can get to a place? Because I have never seen a person take this way to my work before in my life. And I'm looking at Google Maps, and it's seemingly taking her this way. I have never seen that before.
Alex, real life fear stories. Tales from the Lyft. You were in the back of a rideshare, or potentially the driver, and things went south. What happened?
I got in a shared Lyft, and the other passengers were a couple who started having the loudest, most intense argument I've ever heard. Mm. I'm pretty sure they broke up right then and there.
Oh, man.
In an Uber pool?
So you're in the back seat with a couple, they're fighting, and you're just the third just sitting there?
Yep, and it was like a 40-minute ride.
Is a real Tales from the Lyft. David on K-Rock, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sweet Dips.
Sweet Dips, what happened to you?
So I'm a driver, and one time I pulled up to this neighborhood. It was kind of dark. I usually have a tendency to keep my car doors locked until I see somebody approaching. But I was just, like, on my phone, like, distracted. And then the doors just suddenly open, and it's this girl. And I was like, hey, are you, like, so-and-so? And then she's like, yeah, just drive. So she wanted me to, like, to pull off, and I'm, like, trying to, like, confirm the address and whatnot where we're going. And then she's like, no, just drive. And I was like, yo, what's going on? She's like, my man just caught me on my side, dude.
Oh!
And I was like, what the hell? So
you were
I'm
escape.
Driving, like, down the street, and I can see the headlights, like, behind us. And we're like, I'm just, like, flooring. And she's like, don't stop. Just
oh, you're getting chased. Like, you're getting chased by her man.
The driver.
Oh, brutal.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
And she's like, are you effing him, too? And you're like, no, I'm just the driver.
And so you go from being just the regular rideshare driver to now the escape driver, unexpectedly.
And then once
totally
you commit to that, don't you kind of have to commit?
Kind of.
What, you're not going to, like, stop and pull over and let her out?
I was in the back one time, and the guy was kept doing this thing where he was inching into a crosswalk with people, and, like, people were getting really annoyed. And then they started yelling at me. I'm just in the back seat. I'm like, I have no relationship with this driver outside of this ride. And then they start giving me the middle finger and spitting at me. And I'm going, this guy just picked me up.
Fine, I won't tip him.
I got no problem here.
I won't tip.
Nicole, it is Tales from the Lyft on K-Rock, Real Life Fear. Rideshare stories. What's up?
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was driving the night of the shooting in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
I was driving into it as it was happening. I was hearing the bullets ricocheting off my car.
Whoa.
And it was thinking it was fireworks. It was crazy. And I helped about 25 people get to safety and some emergency.
Hero. Rescue. Good for you, Nicole. Thank you for that. That's real fear right there. Absolutely.
Do you just turn the app off at that point and help everybody get to where they need to go?
So that would have been absolute pandemonium.
Jesus.
Andrew,
wow.
We'll give you the final word. We got to wrap this up. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, so I was on the 5 freeway as a passenger, and the rider missed my exit, so he tried to stop on the freeway in reverse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a good move right there.
But you think to yourself, oh, you got to make the passenger happy. I'll just reverse.
So you yell, hey, you just missed it. What's going on? And you go, no, I didn't miss it. We could back up. How are we talking 500 feet? Are we talking miles? What are we talking?
Oh, it's a good, like, probably 100 feet at this point.
Yeah, doing the backwards on the freeway is a scary
Whoa.
Move.
818 said I was a driver and the passenger left something in my trunk and I had no idea. Later, I was pulled over for a fix-it ticket. They asked what was in my trunk. I had no idea they could do that, so I opened it and the passenger had left thousands of dollars worth of illegal fireworks in my car.
Oh, you need those
And
for...
I had to explain what happened and say it was a passenger and not me.
You're going to need those for World Series celebrations. Hey, Casey, we give you the actual final word. Go ahead on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What happened to you?
So, my family, we're heading out to the airport to go to Hawaii. I have two little kids with me. We get into the lift. First, it's filthy. It's the grossest lift I've been in. But, you know, we got to get to the airport. So we get in, and my daughter and I get in the back seat. I look over. There's a half-empty bottle of tequila sitting next to me. And then I look over at my daughter. She's getting ready to sit down, and there's some dried white fluid on the seat. So I grab her over to the other side of the seat.
Oh, my God.
That's a totally different. It's funny how fear can take so many different lanes.
Totally.
Here. It's the backing up on the freeway to the random fluid in the back seat.
But that's the beautiful thing about.
Welcome to Tales from the Lift. And Uber.
Rideshare Kimberly. That's for sure. Miles Smith time. Stargazing. On the world famous K-Rock. Good morning.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show, and I think that any day you've got to go to the dentist is usually not a great day, because either there is something going on that you're like, man, this is the most amount of pain I've ever experienced, got to take care of this emergency style.
It's always immediate excruciating pain, too.
Right, or you got to go for one of them checkup cleanings, etc., and as you know, Alley, of all the people on the show, is the most anti-dentist out there. But in general, people don't necessarily, every once in a while, you're saying, oh, I've got the best dentist. More often than not, people really have a very hate relationship with their dentist.
Well, and the reason I hate the dentist is not because I hate the experience and the scraping and all that stuff. Yes, that's not enjoyable, but I'm actually a very good patient when I go. The reason that I get frustrated is because I think half the crap that they point out in people's mouths are not even a thing. I think flossing is a sham. I think it's a big dentist. I think they're also pointing out cavities that don't really exist. They're going, oh, by the way, this gum looks a little weird. It's probably gingivitis. You should probably do blah, blah, blah. Well, hey, have you tried whitening your teeth?
Maybe it is, Allie. Maybe you do have gingivitis.
I think a lot of the time, they're just saying stuff to keep you in the office. There's, and then look at what happens.
This is an interesting article that has just come out, and it talks about the question at the beginning of the article is, are dentists looking out for your best interest or their best interest?
This is a groundbreaking, I would dare say, whistleblower type piece, Klein. This is not only one dentist, a group of dentists that are putting out an article saying this has all gone too far, that all the misdiagnoses and the interventions that are happening are all excessive and completely unnecessary, and they're doing it to keep their business going.
I did have a dentist one time tell me recently that they thought I had a pre-cavity developing. And I was like, what does that mean? And they said, well, there's no cavity there now, but if you do not, you know, make sure that this area is taken care of, that could become a cavity. And I'm like, isn't that every tooth?
Yes.
Isn't that technically every tooth?
And I think what I've had in my last dentist appointment is that he did that to me, and he was like, hey, make a note of incisor 4C or whatever. And basically that just means in 6 months, I'm going to call it a cavity.
Yes.
That's going to be my... he's making a mental note. That's my pre-cavity. That's the one that I'm going to say you have to fill next time.
There's a couple of things they do that I don't quite understand. And yes, when they push at your gums with that weird thing and they go 1, 2, 2, 5, 5, 3, 4, 3, 4, 2, 5.
The recession of the gum.
I have no idea what that is. And it feels like they're doing something there. And I don't know what that is, but they're speaking in code. And then they do like to push those x-rays real hard on you. And like all the time. Like,
and they look at you like, when if you say no, that means you don't care.
Right.
About me or your mouth.
Because I had a buddy that's like, I just tell him, no, like, I don't need x-rays in my mouth every year. Like, sorry, not doing it. Like, I don't, because, you know, even if you have insurance, it may cover some of it, maybe, but you're still on the hook. And they love pushing them x-rays. And I don't know how they haven't figured out that technology. It still feels like you got to bite onto that painful thing that digs into your gums.
The plastic thing?
Yes, and why haven't they made that more comfortable?
I don't know. That seems the crazy, it's an x-ray. You should be able to just shoot it from above me. Why do I have to wear that stupid...
Don't be such a pussy, dude. It doesn't hurt at all.
It does hurt.
It is uncomfortable.
It doesn't. I just got it done. You know what? My dentist, though, they were saying that they did some research, and they gave me an option not to wear that lead vest thing.
not to wear the lead vest.
Yeah, was that crazy? And I was like, no, vest me up. Are you kidding me?
I like that lead vest.
It's comfortable.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Like a blanket.
It's
like, yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
I could take a nap. Every time they throw that thing on me, I'm like, ah, this is good.
See,
like
but
the
I
warm
feel
embrace.
Like maybe they just didn't feel like putting it on. They're like, hey, you know what? Your maybe. Call, your option. But here's the thing. They said that when they started getting into fluoride toothpaste in the 70s, they saw a massive, dramatic drop in tooth decay in the U.S., and now all these dentists are trying to make up for it by fake cavities. They also said regular scaling and polishing of your teeth every 6 months is unnecessary for most adults.
Nah. You know,
unnecessary.
It's funny. I guess my buildup happens pretty fast. I have to go in every 3 months.
Oh, that's a new... See, that's another one they've done.
You they have unnecessary buildup.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
you're prone to buildup.
Yeah, technically your insurance covers two checkups a year, but I think you actually need four a year. See,
yeah.
there is, mm-hmm. listen, I went to a dentist for a while in LA, and I felt like I was constantly being upsold. There was never just a, thanks for coming, things were looking good, we'll keep an eye on some stuff. It was always, hey, while you're here,
get a night guard, it's $600.
Right, it was a lot of that stuff. And it felt,
my wife just got one.
Yeah, yes. See? It does.
And you can't pick them up at CVS because you're like, oh, I'll just get one of those. They're like, no, it doesn't really work. You have to get the ones that are customized to your teeth. And by the way, none of that's covered.
And I don't even know what I'm verbally agreeing to because
they're just going, ah.
And then I'm like, wait, what did I just agree to?
They got you by the molars.
I said no to all these things. They're like, well, we heard you were saying yes. And I'm like, ah, 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 ah.
But they also, these dentists claim that they are filling in non-cavitated lesions that the majority of people do not need and will not develop into actual real cavities.
So there's a whole article out about it. It kind of came out in the last 24 hours, but there, and that's not saying all dentists.
And I feel vindicated.
No, Allie, you should floss still. I'm just saying. Like, I think that you have taken
this plaque will take care of itself.
Okay, good luck with that. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. That was Royal Otis. People all heated up about this conversation we had about the dentist, so we don't have time to get into much of this now. But Christian, go ahead. You've been on hold a while. What's up?
Yes. Last time I went to go get an x-ray, I found out from my dentist that apparently a lot of people have a lot of hate for the x-ray because they have extra bone growth on the bottom ridge of the floor of their mouth. So if you lift up your tongue and look down, some people have extra bone mass right where they put that bottom layer for that the guard for the x-ray.
Yeah. Oh, so it's our fault?
Everyone in the studio.
Yeah, that's probably us. We
why
got too
don't
much
you change
bone.
The way that the x-ray thing is made then to
seems like they're
fit our mouth instead of us fitting the x-ray's mouth.
Seems like they're upcharging a lot. They should be able to make that a more comfortable experience. That's all we're saying.
Stupid.
But you can go ahead and read the article for yourself. We'll post it up on our socials, Klein Alley Show. And think twice before you go to your dentist ever again. All right, let's get into your news now, then a brand new hour of the show.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for some ADD news. Is the FCC okay with me saying okay, good to know.
All right, the Dodgers have been dominating the World Series. The fans would love a Game 4 sweep. And if they win tonight, it's just another night that you might want to stay home if you're not out celebrating because the streets will be flooded with people. It will be especially flooded because, if you remember, the last time the Dodgers won the World Series, nobody got to celebrate. So they've got one full celebration still in the can, ready to go from 4 years ago. Dodger and Laker fans did not get a celebration or a parade when they won that year, so people will be making up for lost time, and I would imagine that fireworks, fires, and looting will occur. They're also... The Dodgers are also dominating in terms of in-stadium performances, LA versus New York. We had Ice Cube performing. Today was a good day. That was an amazing moment. In New York, they did have a singer from Hamilton, which was cool. But then Fat Joe performed, and they're calling it one of the worst World Series performances of all time. And here's just some of what he did.
I am the ghost of Babe Ruth. I got a honey redundant brother out from New York.
Oh, boy.
He's out from New York. He's from the home of a Derwent. Yes, I'm from New York. I got a honey redundant.
Oh, man.
New York. Man, I can see the Moses ain't a cutie even. He got his head blown up. And I was just about to find...
They were like, why is he out there by himself?
Oh, wow.
In general at all. And I don't know if it was like, okay, L.A. did a rapper, so we have to do our own rapper, you know, and they couldn't really match rapper for rapper.
Well, he was all off. I mean, everything was off on that. It was probably the acoustics were off or something. I don't know. If you listen to what Ice Cube's version was great.
Yeah.
That was that sounded awesome.
And when you are on the field, there is a delay, but you should be able to...
Well, yeah, Ice Cube had those monitors in his ear, so he knew. Like,
yeah, you should...
So did Fat Joe, but it didn't help him.
Dude.
Yeah.
It sounds worse now than it did live.
That sounds painfully bad.
It was pretty bad. All right, obviously... We are in an election year. It's a week away, and people are already sending in their mail-in ballots, and there's been a lot of question about whether or not that's going to be a legitimate way to count ballots. It seems like the majority of people who are mailing them in this year are Republicans, but in the Pacific Northwest, there have already been some crimes against ballots, ballot boxes, and many hundreds of ballots were destroyed.
Tonight, the FBI on the hunt for a suspected arsonist behind three fiery attacks on ballot drop boxes, destroying hundreds of ballots in the Pacific Northwest.
We do have smoke coming out of the ballot box.
Officials say the fires, only miles apart in Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington, were sparked by incendiary devices attached to the outside of the drop boxes.
My God. So now they're saying if the ballot box gets affected, they have like a tracking device on the outside of all the ballots. So they're like, if you dropped off your ballot between this time and this time, just give us a call and then say, hey, maybe mine was burned. And then they'll just double check. And if it was burned, then they'll give you a new one. But it doesn't bode well for people who are like already unsure about the, you know, mail-in voting process.
Here's another crime against ballot boxes.
I'm from New York.
Yeah, that's a big...
The home of a terrorist. Yes, I'm from New York.
That's a big crime right there. Yeah.
And he literally dropped the mic after that performance like he killed it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I know. But maybe in his mind he did. Maybe. I do think we're getting a little heavy with mic drops.
Yeah.
It's like, and boom. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
I think you only get like one of those as an artist per career.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. If you want your kid to be a billionaire... Apparently, it's all in the name. These are the top 10 most common billionaire names. And just a spoiler alert, they're all male names.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. You're throwing a boo right there.
The first two most common billionaire names are John and David, with 12 billionaires apiece.
Yeah, but wouldn't she, if you were to be doing a list about the most common names for murderers, wouldn't that also be John and David? They're just common names. So I always hate when they do these things because you think, oh, good, John, but you'll be the top of every list for John.
Well, and I would imagine that. Because all of those people, like, those were very common names, like, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know? And those are all the people that are grown up now and billionaires.
Right.
But their kids are probably named Caden and Hayden and Braden.
Right.
And who knows if those are going to be billionaires follow.
They'll be inherited billionaires, probably.
Or it's like, hey, you know what? John became a billionaire. Let's name the son John, and then their son John, and their son John, so you can pass on the billionaire good luck.
Yeah, I guess.
I've got a lot of Johns in my family, and none of them are even millionaires.
That would really suck if that is your name, and you're like, God, I was set up for success, and I couldn't.
I have the most common billionaire name.
Couldn't figure it out.
And I am broke.
All right, well, there's your news. Let's get into a brand new hour of the show. We'll do it right after this one from The Offspring on the world famous K-Rock.